There are a lot of scriptures that teach us to be thankful. Jesus instructed us to be thankful. The psalmist, the psalmster, the psalmist David, he taught us on numerous occasions to be thankful unto the Lord. And I want to use a passage of scripture from the 103rd Psalm. I want to read the whole psalm. I have a sermon prepared for the entire psalm, but I probably won't preach the entire psalm. The 103rd Psalm is a special psalm, and I want to read it at this time. It begins with a phrase that is used not only three times in this 103rd Psalm, but it's also used at the beginning and the end of the 104th Psalm. The 103rd Psalm, the 104th Psalm, and the 105th Psalm are in sync. The 103rd Psalm glorifies God for His grace and His goodness toward us. The 104th Psalm glorifies the God that created this world, the God of nature. The 105th Psalm celebrates and glorifies and praises the God of history, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who has left us a glorious and wonderful heritage. This phrase that I'm going to use as a text, the first verse of the 103rd Psalm, is a very familiar statement. It's one that we've sung, our choir has sung the psalm, and it corresponds with Scripture. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee. I don't know if you remember the verse that talks about the crowning of the Lord's grace and mercy in the psalm that we are thankful unto the Lord from our hearts that was sang by the choir. But who has crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who sanctified thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed all like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Amen. Praise God. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Praise God. He didn't deal with you the way He should have dealt with you because of your transgressions, because of your sins. Praise God. He withheld that we deserved. He was merciful to us, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. Aren't you glad the Lord knows how weak we are? He studied us. He understands us. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as a grass, as a flower in the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth upon it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting You know, we deal with a lot of temporal things here, but God is from everlasting to everlasting. We're mortal, but He's immortal. Amen. He's God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear Him and His righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep His covenant, to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord. He calls on the angels, notice here. Ye angels, and excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want us to understand what it means to bless the Lord. I preached a sermon recently entitled Top 10 Psalms in the Book of Psalms. The hits, the top hits, the most important psalms in the Book of Psalms. And when I did that, we came across the first psalm, the second psalm, and there's the word blessed. You know, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Blessed is the man that does this or does that. Blessed is the man. And when we were studying that, one of the things that we detected, one of the things that we noted, is that the word blessed or blessing or being blessed is a unique word and has a higher form and takes on a higher sphere than just being happy. It's more important than being happy. Being blessed is greater than being happy. And though when we say, you know, we being blessed, and I think it has reference to happiness, when it's used with reference to a person, we wish, we hope that that person will have good health or have prosperity or have a good things to happen to them or have a good life. We wish or we desire, we hope that they will be happy. We hope that they're blessed. And when we examined the definition, we noticed that it went way beyond that, that it took on a new dimension, went beyond what Webster defines blessed being. Actually, if you look in the old Webster dictionary, this 103rd Psalm is one of the scriptural references for the definition of the word bless. When we think about being blessed, we know it's more than just happiness, don't we? We know it's more than just prosperity, having clothes and shoes on our feet, a nice house. The blessings that we enjoy as the people of God is God's favor upon our lives. That's what blessed is. That's what being blessed really means. To experience the manifestations of God's favor upon our lives. And in this psalm, it talks about the blessings that we receive, how wonderful they are. He mentions many things in this passage of Scripture about being forgiven, about having the revelation of God's will given to us, and how that He has revealed His will unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He has revealed unto us His commandments, and we can keep them because we know them. We know how to please God and do His will. And so there's a lot of things that come into play as we examine, we think about some of these things concerning what we have experienced. But notice what the psalmist does in this particular passage. Not that we be blessed of God, but that we bless the Lord. Now, how do we do that? I'll be honest with you. I understand what it means to experience blessing. I know what it means to experience the favor of God. And many times at the conclusion of a wedding ceremony or at the conclusion of a funeral, I often quote number 6 and 24, where there it talks about the blessings of the Lord, and it says, "Will the Lord bless thee and keep thee." And I think this is a summary in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24 of what the blessings toward us are really like. He said, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace." Experiencing the favor and the presence and the blessings of God. That's what it means to be really blessed. And we are. I hope you have more than just a nice car to drive and a nice house to live in. I hope you've experienced the saving grace of God. I hope you've experienced what the psalmist was talking about. The sins being taken from you and being removed and laid upon the cross and laid upon His Son, laid upon the only begotten Son of God, being a sacrifice and a substitute for your sins. Listen, it's only through the blood of Jesus that your sins can be removed as far as the east is from the west. That's the only way that they can be blotted out. And of course, in the ledger of blessings, this is the prominent one. It's the first one that's mentioned in this psalm for the forgiveness. Notice verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. That's the greatest blessing, to experience the forgiveness of sin. And that is done by the Lord. It's not done by yourself, but it's done by the Lord. It was through His mercy and grace that we experience that. Okay, let's back up. Okay, I understand. I've experienced it. I enjoy it. I ask the Lord to do it to couples that are being married. I ask that God shine upon it and make His countenance to shine upon it and give a peace to those that have lost loved ones. I do that frequently and often. I quote that passage of Scripture, asking God to manifest His favor into that family's life. But when I start thinking about, you know, me blessing the Lord, I mean, if it said, "Be praising the Lord," I understand that. And it does say that. Look at the last verse of the 104th Psalm. Notice it says, "Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord." Now, I understand praising the Lord. I understand singing praises unto the Lord. I understand about making melody in my heart with psalms and hymns, giving thanks unto the Lord, like it says in the book of Thessalonians. I understand some of that. I understand praising the Lord, but it doesn't say praise the Lord. It says for you to bless the Lord. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. Seems somewhat incomprehensible. I mean, God needing my blessing, He doesn't need my blessing. And can I add anything to God's happiness or increase His greatness or enlarge His goodness in any way? No! I have not the power to do that or the ability to do that. How can I bless the Lord? Well, I think the best way for us to examine this statement, like I said, it's made in verse 1, it's made in verse 2, it's made in verse 22, it's made in the first verse of 104. Notice Psalms 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What he's doing here, what David is doing here, is he's preaching to himself. Do you guys realize the best sermon you'll ever hear is the one you preach to your own soul? At some juncture in your life, you need to listen to your conscience. You need to listen to that impression of the Holy Spirit upon your heart when it speaks to you. The greatest sermons you've ever heard are the sermons you preach to your own soul. And so that's what he's doing in this passage. He's preaching to himself. He's preaching to his own soul. He's speaking to himself. And he's saying, "Soul?" Have you ever done that? I hope from time to time you do, that you'll say, soul, hope in the Lord, or soul, repent of your sins, or soul, trust in the Lord. But here he says, do something that seems to be almost impossible for us to do. Soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. When I began to think about this, I came to the conclusion that there is a framework to us being blessed. There is an origin, a development that took place for us to be blessed. One of the things that God did in bringing about our blessings is He thought about our well-being. He thought well of us, didn't He? How to make us forgiven. I mean, if you think about it, according to the foreknowledge and the determinate counsel of God, God thought about our need of redemption before we ever fail. Amen? In the council halls of glory, great thought, great meditation. I can't even imagine. I mean, when you start examining the scheme and the scope of redemption, the kind of calculation and meditation, the kind of thought that went into bringing about a fallen race back into relationship with a holy God? I'm still trying to figure it all out, aren't you? Boggles the mind. I've read a variety of different systematic theology books. I've read Mullins, and I've read Thiers, and I've read Young, and I've read all these different theologians and all of their great abilities to put together systematically theology and soteriology and the scope of salvation and all these big words and all these big things, and they've tried to iron it all out and figure it all out. But listen, I don't think we'll ever get it all figured out, because it is beyond us and it is beyond us. It's way above us. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, the prophet Isaiah says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked man forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy upon him, and God will abundantly pardon him. He said in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above your ways. That's what God said. And He was talking about previously, the context is you seeking the Lord and you getting saved and you experiencing pardon and forgiveness. Listen, when it comes to our redemption, the scheme and scope of redemption is far beyond our capacity to understand. Beyond our capacity to understand. You know, there's been some folks that I've dealt with that wanted to be saved, and they first wanted to figure it all out before they trusted. You won't figure it all out before you trust. You've got to exercise faith. Now, there's enough knowledge. There's the capacity for the young child, even people who are not all that smart or brilliant or maybe not have the comprehension or understanding that others have, but there's the capacity for them to understand of enough of the gospel of Jesus Christ to repent of their sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. But I think all of us, after we get saved by trusting in Jesus, realize this thing's bigger than life itself. And you know, that's what I said a few months ago. The word blessing, that it's this plurality falls in a category to where that the word blessing means more than life itself. And the blessings of God and the favor of God, isn't it more important than life itself? Sure is. If you don't think so, you just wait till you come to the crossing of the Jordan. You get ready to die and see if it's not worth more than life itself. You'll be glad you saved then. Amen. Yeah, that you know the Lord, that you come beneath the crimson flow, that you've been forgiven of your sins, that your iniquities have been removed from you by the precious blood of Jesus. And so anyway, let me get back to this, okay? Let me get back to the elementary aspects of what it entails to be blessed. Well, it begins with God thinking, right? God thinking. And so There are other passages, like in Psalms 40 and 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, that cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare the speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. In other words, God thought. He put together a plan of redemption. There was a scope of redemption that was put together through His ability to think and comprehend. And, you know, we can do the same thing. We can think on the things of God. I think that's one of the ways in which we can bless the Lord. Many are His thoughts toward us. Have you ever tried to figure out, you know, how many breaths you take in a day's time? Do you know the Lord knows how many breaths you take in a day's time? Do you know that the Lord provided those breaths that you take? Do you know the Lord knows how many hairs are upon your head? Have you ever thought about the human body and how great it is? You get on into that next psalm and it talks about God's creative ability. You know, I don't see anybody who's added an extra arm onto their body. When we think about, like the psalmist said in the 139th psalm and verse 7, there he's talking about how precious are the thoughts of God toward us. He said, how great is the sum of them? He said, if I could count them, they would be more than the number of sand on the sea. God has thought a lot about you. Don't you think we ought to meditate some upon Him? One of the greatest blessings is He had all these thoughts toward making us and providing us what we stand in need of with regard to life. He's given us a lot of wonderful things. Here was forethought in the preparation of redemption. And so, I think that we should pay Him the same respect. We ought to think about the sweet, glorious things of God. We ought to think on His love, and we ought to think on His mercy and His gratefulness. I could go through this chapter. Hang with me. 103rd Psalm. We should think on verse 3 on the one who forgave us. I just go through the who's and the he's. Okay, if I went through the who's and he's of this psalm, and it would take me a while. Maybe you can go through them later, but you need to. You can just replace the who's and the he's with think. Think on His forgiveness for forgiving you of all of your iniquity. Think about the times that He's healed you of your disease. Let me pause here. Doctors, all they do is treat. God is the only one that heals. The scratch on your arm heals up. God did that. I've had some scars and some scratches and some scrapes and I've had some infections on the outside and the inside. And yes, I went to the doctor. And I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. And take the antibiotic. Do those things. We ought to put all the oil we can when we come together to pray with those that God would heal. But and I use all the medical abilities and gifts that God has given our society. But when it comes right down to healing, all the healing that we've experienced, it comes from God. Remain mindful of that. If you ever start praising a doctor or a hospital or somebody like that, you have gone off course. It is God that heals. If you don't think that's the case, you just think about all the times they mess up. The doctors, that is. All right, the healing. We ought to think about His ability to heal and the people that He's healed. We've experienced healing in this church. I'm thankful for Hunter going back to the apartment this past week. I really had that one Sunday I was here. I had great concerns. I guess you sensed that. You felt that. That was in my bones and in my soul. I had great concerns whether he was going to survive. And I was praying and fasting and asking God to heal him. And I tell you, we could do more with prayer and fasting than probably what we could do with antibiotics and other stuff. I think you ought to use both. Brother James is a pharmacist back there. I'm not telling you don't go see Brother James, okay? Don't go see the doctors and the nurses. But you need to talk to God about all this stuff too, right? We ought to think about that. You know, I thought about the times that I was... And let's go on. Okay. Who redeemed...
redeems our life from destruction. Verse 4. We need to think about that. You know, there have been many times we should have been dead. I mean, there are times we've gone through automobile accidents. There was times that we've been electrocuted. I was electrocuted. I got places on my arm where I got into a box in a machine, and it was hot. Had 1,300 volts go through my arm. I should have been dead, but God preserved me. And I could go on and on and on about the times that God has kept me safe from destruction. You're going to be surprised when you get to glory how many times God delivered you. We go on and on. When you think about that, how God has delivered us, how He's crowned, just like in that verse of song that was sang by the choir, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy?" We need to think about how He's crowned our life with loving kindness, tender mercy. We need to think about how that He satisfies our mouth with good things, the good things of life. We ought to think about that God gives them to us. Everything that we receive every single day of our life comes from God. Even the bread that we eat, the meals that we enjoy, the good food that we have, the clothes on our back, everything that satisfies any kind of desire or longing of our soul, it comes from God. And the greatest satisfaction that comes to our soul is God Himself. The presence and power of His peace in our lives. Yeah, I could go on. I could start using the he's instead of the who's as I go down through here. But anyway, let me just pause there. I think we ought to, first of all, think. Our thinking can bless God. Secondly, our wishing. You know, God had some desire, some wish, some hope, some aspiration toward the human race. And, you know, as we look at over our life, we ought to have some desire, some wishing, some hoping in the work of God. We should desire that God would be glorified. Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven." Everybody say the next word, "Hallowed be." We need to have some hallowed bees in our life. We need to want God glorified and hallowed and admired. Magnify His name. I want that done in the world. And you can go on. He talks about His kingdom. How that His kingdom needs to be elevated. His kingdom needs to be exalted. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Listen, sometimes we need to just sit down and wish that all men everywhere would be saved. Listen, the Bible says that God has no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. The Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible says that it's God's will that all would come to know the Lord and be saved. And sometimes we ought to get on our knees and we move into a new category. We move from just a motivation to a supplication where we cry out to the Lord, "Lord, save those that are lost." Have the desire that they worship God like God should be worshipped. We should wish and desire that some of these nations that have fallen into idolatry, these different degrees of heathenism, and all these things that are false, that lead people away from worshiping the true God. There's one thing very clear in this passage of Scripture, verse 7. "He made known His ways unto Moses." I don't know what God they're serving. I know it's not the same God that David was having reference to here. "I worship the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God that created this world, made this world. He is not only the creator, but He's the designer of it. He reigns and He rules over this world. I worship that God, Jehovah God, Yahweh, the God that sent His only begotten Son to this world, that whosoever believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. I want to bless the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to worship and I want to praise and I want to bless Jehovah God." We should desire that other nations come to know Him. Other languages come to praise Him. other ethnic groups come to be saved like the Bible teaches that they must be saved. When you see the truth honored and His Word embraced, it should stir your heart. It should bless your soul to see the gospel of Jesus Christ advanced. This is one of the ways that we bless His holy name. Not only by thinking, but by wishing His cause well. What does it do for you when we hear back from these reports from other nations that many have been saved? Does it bless your heart when you get, you know, I got correspondence, I read it here from the pulpit of people that were hearing our service preached in third world countries and they were embracing the truth and being saved. What does it do for you when you hear about 30 and 40 Africans and Kenya being saved? What does that do for you? Doesn't it bless you? Man, I want to see the cause advance. I want to see souls saved. I want the Lord glorified, not only in Tennessee and in America, but around the world. I'd almost be a post-millennialist. Actually, I'd love to be a post-millennialist. You know, post-millennialists believe that the whole world's going to be saved before the Lord comes back. Wouldn't that be glorious? And I think that should be our aspiration. That should be our desire. That should be our supplication. That all men everywhere would be saved. All right, I need to move on. I think another way that we bless the Lord is not only by thinking and wishing, but also by speaking. I've got a lot of proof texts. I'm not going to take the time to go through them. But listen, He hath not dealt with us. Look at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. He's not punished us like we deserve to be punished. You know, we really have nothing to complain about. We hear way too much murmuring and not enough praising. When it comes to speaking, I mean, you think about all the ways that God has spoken to us. He has spoken to us in sundry times in divers manners by the prophets. He's spoken to the fathers. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. He has spoken to us by His written word. I don't know if you hear God speaking from the written word, but the Holy Spirit allows me to hear God speak through the written word. He speaks to us through His Spirit. He speaks to us through His people. He speaks to us just like He said that He revealed these things unto Moses. He gave us prophets and preachers. Praise God for hearing God's voice. Well, if we hear Him speak and we consider that one of the greatest blessings, isn't that a blessing? I remember I was meditating on Bud and when the Lord started dealing with him and visiting him at night. And he was a little perplexed, a little confused about that. I remember standing back there against that wall and he was talking to me about that. You know, the hearing this voice in the middle of the night. And I'm like, man, that is a blessing! And I said, let me tell you how to handle that. You call on the Lord! You respond when God speaks, amen? I don't know how you feel about it, but I want my children to hear from God. I feel that's more important than their education. It's more important than their careers. It's more important than anything else in this life, is that they hear from God. And one of the dangers of the church today is the church has become dull of hearing. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Well, if God speaking to us is a great blessing, then we ought to be spokesmen for Him. We ought to testify of His loving kindness, His mercy. We ought to be willing to witness to those that are lost and tell them about how our sins were blotted out, how that we've received the forgiveness of sin, how we've been born again by His Spirit. Instead, though, we hear a lot of murmuring and complaining instead of rejoicing and testifying. Come on now. God don't like murmuring. I'll just be honest with you. He don't like it. You know what? If you are pardoned, If you have been forgiven, if you are saved, and you know that you're going to heaven, and you have to live out of a paper bag trying to sell some paper on Broadway, if for the rest of your days you have to beg for a living, you have not a home nor a car to live in, and you live under a bridge, if you should live out the rest of your days as a beggar, you have nothing to complain about if you know that you're going to heaven. But you folks aren't beggars. I've not seen you down here with one of those little papers asking for money, asking for a dollar. I've not seen you begging on the street. You are blessed. He has given you so much more. And you know that at this bounty that you received, all of the wealth and the blessings and the goodness that you have, you know it has come from the Lord. Sang about it this morning, didn't you? Well, if you believe that, you ought to tell the world about it. And praise His holy name. I'll tell you the problem. Murmuring, complaining is obvious. It's an obvious indication of an ungrateful, spoiled brat. Ungrateful, spoiled brat. You don't know what one of those look like. You just look to the person who's always murmuring and complaining about the things in their life. He's blessed our stuff. He's blessed our belongings. He's blessed our lives. We have so much more. We have not one single reason to complain. We know we're going to heaven. We ought to be doing just the opposite. We ought to be praising and magnifying and glorifying with our voice the Lord of glory. All right, thinking, wishing, speaking, all these things are the framework of blessing. Things that God has done for us that we can in a little way, do for Him. The last one is acting. I'll close with this one. Acting. Notice what it says in verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. All that is within me. I'm going to magnify and glorify and praise and bless the name of the Lord. Yes, Webster says the definition for blessing in Psalms 103 is praise wrapped in gratitude. But I believe it's much more than that. I believe we need to act. We need to respond to His dealings toward us as we read all these things that we have enjoyed and experienced. We ought to act. We ought to pour out ourselves before the Lord and magnify the Lord. We need to get the alabaster box out. And we need to break it at the feet of Jesus and let the aroma fill the room. You want to bless the name of the Lord? You go find that alabaster box in your closet that cost you as much as a year's wage, and you bust it out at the feet of Jesus. Listen, if you've not occasionally done some fresh blessing the name of the Lord, it's time to do it. Something costly from your storage, and give it to the cause and bless the name of the Lord. When we were in the book of Isaiah, we came to Titus and Tyre. And we were studying about the fall of that city and their economy. And the last verse talks about all of these commerce being used as a holy thing unto the Lord. Do you think that when Mary brought that alabaster box worth a year's wage and then just busted it? And you know, Judas Iscariot, he's always complaining, murmuring. Man, we could have used that money. Of course, he was holding the purse. He was the church treasurer. And he was holding the purse. And he saw Mary pour out a year's wage at the feet of Jesus. And he's like, hey, 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 hey! We could have used that for this. You don't see too many Marys, Marthas anymore, do you? But I think it blesses the name of the Lord with our acts and our deeds. I appreciate your attention. Bless the Lord. We'll probably sing that song again when we have our some other choir here. Let's sing a song and close out the service. But thinking on the Lord, meditating upon His Word and His laws, His commandments, His goodness. Just, you know, if you'll take some quiet time, children, listen to me. Find you a place somewhere and spend some quiet time with the Lord. I mean, just think about and meditate. You know, the Bible talks about us meditating day and night. If we could just start meditating maybe 10 or 15 minutes a day on His goodness, on His mercy toward us. Think on the Lord. He thought toward you. He had great thoughts toward you. So many thoughts, they outnumber the sand on the sea. Wish, hope, desire. It was God's desire. That's why He had a whosoever will plan. It's a desire that God has to save the world. God so loved the world. He wished well toward you. Speaking, you heard His gospel, His word, His truth. Those things that He's revealed to Moses and the rest of the patriarchs and revealed to the church. Speaking, acting. Do you really have a concern and desire to see the advancement of the church? Are there actions involved? There are some of you that have not come out, you've been saved, but you've not come out from among the world. Been identified with the body of Christ. You not follow the Lord in baptism. Isn't it about time you have some action attached to that testimony, showing that you are a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ and that you've been forgiven of sin? Isn't it about time? Bless the Lord. Well, my preaching to you this morning will have little or no effect until you turn this in on yourself, do a selfie, and you preach it to yourself.